Please get real with me. Amen. Amen. And for all you parents out there this morning, mommies and daddies, grandparents, aunts and uncles right now, all you out there who stepped in and took over the role of raising someone else's child, you're struggling. Maybe some of you guys had to walk through hell today just to get to church because somebody was rebelling against you because they didn't want to come to church. Or somebody on the internet's going to be hearing this and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Guys, it's worth it. Understand that. You're fighting for your souls from hell to keep them from falling back. And I tell you, the devil will unleash everything he can think of. He's coming at your children, your grandchildren. And there you are, praise God, you're standing in the gap. You say, nah, not over my dead body. Amen? I'm telling you what, don't give up. Jesus says, man, you can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens you. Understand? He'll strengthen you. He'll give you the power to. Don't give in. Somebody say, I'm about done. Well, you'll throw the towel in. Do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. Some of you right there today and say, God said, don't do it, man. I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. I see you. I'll empower you. And for those of you who are the rebellious ones, listen to what the Word of God says. A day will come, you will get your wish, that you will have a godly mother or father or grandparent breathing on your throat saying, don't do that, don't do this. Your day will come. The Christ is coming to take those who are following Him, and you'll be left behind and you do whatever you want. But the hell that will be on this earth here, that's what your grandparents, your parents are trying to save you from right now. I suggest today you get on your knees and repent to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for rebelling against the love that they're sharing to you. And you go to them and you apologize to them. You say, I was wrong. I see what you're trying to do for me. Because look at that, it was a rebellion. Look in the ungodly homes those other kids are being raised in. Look what's going on. You don't want that. And for any of us sitting, I don't care how old you are, the Bible says rebellion is like witchcraft. So when this Word of God says something, when it says do or don't do it, and you don't obey it, you're rebelling against God. That's just a battle of witchcraft. Don't think you can walk around and do this and but not do that or go against God's Word and think that you're okay. You're not. You're not. That's a lie from the devil. I'm sick and tired of hearing it. I know God is. It's either all Him or none. That's not me telling you. That's what God's telling you. Our love, He's telling you, get with me. Surrender to me. You're the spirit of the lion over this nation. It's hard to find anybody that says the truth anymore, isn't it? We don't let the spirit fall on you. Tell the truth. No matter what it costs you, you tell the truth. Because people are coming for the truth. They're going to need to know it. And if you're not living the truth, how can you receive it from you? Don't give up. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, you keep your feet dug into the Word of God. And no matter how much they rebel against you, you do what God told you to do. And for all the youngsters out there that might hear this message, you'll be 18 someday. You can make your own decisions. And you'll realize later on in life, wow, how much your parents or grandparents, aunt, uncle, whoever it is involved in your life, how much they truly love you. Willing to go through hell for you. When you cuss them out, when you degrade them, I wish you were dead. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I pray your eyes are open. I pray they're open. And you'll come out of darkness and recognize the love that they have for you. If you would turn with me for a moment to 2 Chronicles Second Chronicles, the 7th chapter, verse 14. Many of us are familiar with this. This has really been integrated into the churches for the last, especially the last 3 years. Man, when we started recognizing where the church is, where our nation is today, and we started looking at ourselves. I mean, the reason you're doing what you're doing, the reason you're standing in the gap and you say, no, not on my watch, this stuff ain't going to take place in my home. The reason is because we look back over the decades, we got relaxed, because that, you know, I've heard people say, well, listen, I'm not going to drag my kids to church. When I was little, I was drugged to church. I ain't dragging mine. And you spit that words right out of your mouth. But you're saying you're just too lazy. You're saying you're afraid of frustration. You're afraid of arguments. Because your God tells you to raise a child the way he should go. Amen? Now, I'll confess up front, I raise my kids the way I want them to go. But not in the way of the Lord. I wasn't walking with him. Amen. I was 43 before, man, my light bulb came on. I knew Jesus. I get back to the Lord repenting. You got to stand in the gap. And if it means you got to tie a rope around your kid's legs and drag them through that church, then you do that. Amen. Amen. I know John Hagee said that he had a drug problem when he was younger. That his mama drug him to Bible school, drug him to church, drug him to Bible study. And folks, we have to just take that stand. God wants us to. And he'll give you strength to do this. But over the last 3 years, folks, I know we look at the nation today and say, look how terrible it is. But look what we've been praying over the years. Space of the last 3 years, bringing God's word back to him. It says, my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And that's what's been taking place over the last 3 years, is God has been exposing so much ugliness, so much evil in our nation. All this stuff has been covered up over the years, hidden under different agendas and different names, and everything taking place on the back burner. Because basically, we had our eyes on ourselves. Me. And we had the attitude before, hey, they can do what they want to, okay? I'm gonna praise Jesus, and they can do what they want to, and you know. But we realize now, we're gonna praise Jesus. But we praise him for him who lives in us. And his desire for us is to be a witness to the world. And we weren't designed to go home and close the doors and polish our shoes up, wait for the rapture to come. No, I mean, I would say when the rapture comes, we should be all dirty and sweaty and out there sharing and all beat up, be like soldiers coming home from a war. Like, oh, thank you, Lord. No, hearts should be, come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we just can't take you, Lord. Oh. I mean, how many times Paul would have cried out, maybe, Lord, you coming back? All the stuff he went through. But we prayed and prayed for that, and God has been exposing more and more of our nation. The corruption, not just here, but around the world. Okay, guys, here I am. It's kind of like Sister Barb. Amy just told me she's in surgery right now. They're going to work on her leg there, the infection and stuff. But they got to open her up today in order to get to the infection to get it out. And then they're going to close her back up again. Amen? And that's what God is doing to our nations today. He opened us up. He's shown us all the corruption, all the evil, everything that Satan has been trying to do as he takes us towards this one world government, which will take place, expose it to us. And we got to decide what we're going to do with it. Amen? It's kind of like today, the doctor would look at Barb and say, okay, what are we going to do with this? Now Barb might say, close it up. And the doctor might say, no. We need to remove something here. We need to get this infection out. We need to work on this rod. Amen? She has to trust in the physician is working on her today. And folks, we got to trust in the great physician, because he exposed this to us and gave us his word. And we need to stand on his word when this all chaos is gone throughout this nation, and stand and not be movable. But let his word, number one, govern your life. Govern my life. And we sing, I exalt thee. I mean, that should be every day. Now, I exalt thee. When you get, that'd be over when you're working, sharing the love of Jesus. In your spirit, I exalt thee. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm a witness. Thank you, God, that you take what the devil means for harm and turn to the good. Thank you they stole my Bible. It's not my Bible, it's yours, God. Thank you they fell into the enemy's camp. Woo! You snuck that little weapon of God right into the enemy's camp. He stole it, but he doesn't know what he did. You know, he moved upon her, someone to take that Bible. But the person who took that Bible is made in the image of God. And the devil forgets inside of each one of us, there is a knowledge, there is a God. And whether we know it or not, it's desire to be reconciled with him. So we just brought the one weapon that can tear down the strongholds of the evil one and set that person free. They brought it right into themselves. And that's how our God works. Amen? He does that. We see now all the stuff the last several months, all the lies and stuff, and how they've been tearing down this nation, being exposed more and more and more. Folks, do not grow weary. This is what God has called us to do. We are praying for a great revival. Now, it's never going to be the chicken every Sunday, white fence, kicking back anymore. We're engaged in a battle. Probably Abraham Lincoln said, we're engaged in a war. Woo! Like it was in the Civil War. And it is not going to stop until we hear the sound of the trumpet. Understand that. It's going to get more intense and more intense and more intense. That's the good news. The greater news is, greater he again is in you. He's inside of you to strengthen him, to make him number one in your life. Man, his word is your strength, your power. And that's how we defeat this thing. There is a battle out there for our youngsters. We want to destroy them. But man, there's an army of God raising up. Men and women are sick and tired of the things the way they are. They want to do it completely God's way. And folks, it's selling out to him completely. Allow him to control your mouth. I don't mean that you're mouthing bad, but praying, interceding, not running. Be able to turn that TV back on to a legitimate news station and watch the news, folks, to find out where you need to target your prayers. Amen. We need to do that. I know at times we want to shut down everything, don't want to hear nothing no more, and I agree with you, man. But we can't do that. Find a news source that's given the truth. Find what's going on. Victory News is one, is a Christian organization that gives great news twice a day. And find out what is taking place. And get behind men and women who are making a difference for our nation. Godly men and women, those who support the Constitution of the United States that was created by the hand of God. I think a third of the Constitution and the amendments and stuff is Scripture-based. When they say, well, we're not a nation, a Christian nation anymore, that guy named Obama said that, he's a liar. He's a filthy liar. That is the mouthpiece of the devil. We are a nation. A Christian nation. We just got people got bigger mouths. It's getting more attention. But we are a Christian nation, guys. And God isn't done with us yet. But the calling we have in our life is to let the light of Christ shine through us. To draw people to him. If you want to turn into Matthew, I believe it is where I'm going next. If not, I'll go there. I need more glue in my Bible. Then with Matthew, we're going to go to the fifth chapter. Verse 13. I got my water back here, I think. There it is. That one light on, woke up my praise and worship team. Yeah. But Matthew 5, verse 13, the Master is speaking to us, and he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. But on a lampstand it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now going back, he's talking to each one of us here who are born again Christian. Now who you are. And first of all, he describes you as the salt of the earth. The salt brings seasonings to food, amen? Also, salt brings preservation. You ever eating ham that's salt treated? Whew, man, you pack that ham in a burlap bag, and you pack it full of salt, and it preserves it. Man, you know the salt's there when you cut off a chunk and take a bite of it. Sometimes it's so salty you gotta soak it in water overnight to be able to cook the ham and eat it. Well, that's where he wants us to be. So so consumed with him that people just can't get rid of the salt out of us. And for us to take conversations and turn them around for the Lord. Yeah, I love the challenge I get every once in a while. I get around folks and they'll be complaining. And okay, Lord, how you want to do this? And he'll give me something. And he'll take that complaint and turn it around to his word and put salt, add flavor to it. Say, yeah, I know we got issues going on, but look what the word of God says. And he takes that complaint into a praise report or into a prayer. And that makes things happen. That makes things different. He talks to us about being the light. He says, a city on the hill cannot be hidden. And I picture, and no doubt the Master was talking, he looked up there into a city on the hill. But what I imagine is, it's always nighttime, I imagine this verse here. But on the hill, there's a big city, and they got lights up there, it's really bright. And down below, there's a wilderness, it's really dark. And you got somebody traveling along, and they're sick and tired of being sick and tired, man. They're tired of their life the way it is. They gotta be something different. Man, they're just ready for a change. Yeah. Maybe they were instructed by their parents or somebody relative earlier in life on the way they should go. And they rebelled. Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever rebel against your parents? Yeah, amen. But finally, whatever it is, finally in their lifetime, something comes on and they're tired of being in this darkness and wilderness. And they look up and see that light shining. And so they start walking towards that light. Well, if you're the city, what would you do? Would you jump down out of the city and start running towards that person and try guiding them to the city of light? Or would you consider, would you continue to shine your light and draw them to you? And I would say you would continue to draw your light and draw them to them. See, there has to be desire in someone's life for something different. And if you've never been around a brother or sister in the Lord before, or you hang around good people but not born again, you would find that desire or that need to change based upon what other people are doing. Wow. You know, Amy looks happy. She got a brand new Corvette. Yeah, she's president, and she's president of the bank now. And here I am, man. That's what I want to do. I want to be happy. And so I go out, and I borrowed money. I bought myself a Corvette. Wow. And I'm driving around, and she's driving around. She's just smiling. And I'm smiling until the 30 days up, and the first payment comes. Now I can make that payment. Oh, my lands. Man, wow. That didn't work out very good. Oh, wait, Dixie. She's driving a Camaro, driving a Mustang. Mach 2, red in color, 428. And she's always, she seems happier than Amy is. I buy that. And before long, the payment comes. Or have a flat tire. Wow. Or Susan runs the red light and hits it, okay? And it's down and out. But then come along and I see Sister Nancy. Don't have a penny to her name, but she's happy. Always smiling. Talking about this dude called Jesus. Wow. Well, I tried these two over here, these rich ladies. They didn't make me happy. Nancy, I want what you have. Her light is shining. And that light draws me to Christ. You know, I had that happen in the jail. I was an administrator before I retired and had this poor little preacher coming in. He didn't have two nickels rubbed together. And he was always happy. He's talking about being down and out. He quit his job to serve Jesus. Now, how stupid can you be? Amen? That's what I thought. I mean, you got a $40,000 job, a year job at that time, and he quit to serve Jesus. His name's Jim Gross, if you wonder who I'm talking about. Some of you guys might know him. But he would come in there to talk to the guys in the jail, smiling up, but boy, he's just awesome. What a witness that was to me. It took several years for it to get really deep into me to surrender my life to Christ. But I wanted what he wanted. What he had, it wasn't based upon money. I mean, it wasn't based upon his automobile. He had to tie the bumper on a lot of times, you know? And then you get gasket back and forth. But what he had was real. That light was shining through him, and it drew me to him. To Jesus. Not to Jim, but to Jesus. And that's what God does today for us. Number one, he's shining light right now. If you don't know Christ, if you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you've been out maybe in the shadows a little bit. You're a little better person today than you was last year. But we don't get to heaven by being a good person or being a better person than we was. It's being surrendered to Jesus and being born again. And he promised you nothing. He promised salvation. What he gives us is this: I'll meet your needs. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. And I'll supply your needs. What? Clothing, food, and a place to hang out. Now, it could be in a cave. It could be a crow feeding you. I won't look back here and say, there's a crow. No. But he'll meet your needs. Truly, how much do we really need if we're only here temporarily? I know some of you ladies. We go to Virginia temporary for 5 days. I got one little bag. I got a trailer behind my van for Carol stuff, you know. Maybe it's temporary. Yeah, but you don't know. But we can find a lot more contentment in our hearts if we know that this could be the last day. That trumpet could sound. So we don't need all the things of the world to make us happy. Now, there's nothing wrong having nice things. Don't get me wrong, okay? But we should find our contentment and our joy in Christ. And as Paul said, we learn to be joyful when we're eating a can of tuna tonight or we're eating salmon. You know, it's just the joy in the Lord. But that light of the city on the hillside is drawing people. Some of you are shining your light, and you say, man, this person hasn't come yet. Man, what am I going to do to get through them? You just do what you're doing. You shine your light. You live for Jesus. And I truly believe, I know that when that person is ready, they'll be drawn to the Lord. What you cannot do is grow weary. You can't give up. You can't throw that towel in. Can say, I'm done with it. Just do what you want to do. No, no, no. Continue to love Jesus. Continue to lift Him up in prayer. But we have to get to that point. Each one of us. You had to get to that point one time in your life. Well, finally, you surrender to the Lord. Whatever it was holding you back. For the man, most of the time, was pride, I would say. Macho, you know. We, most of us thought that church is for women. Women, little kids. And how stupid that was, right? But what changed my heart? I've seen men of God not ashamed to pray, not ashamed to worship the Lord. Not ashamed to say, listen, this is how I used to be, but look what Christ done in my life. Man, it made a difference. Wow. You know, and they allowed their light to shine around me even before I committed my life to Jesus. Okay? I come in my roughness as I would be, but they continue to love me and show Christ. You know, I went to one church one time, and I smoked for years. Again, if you want to smoke, that's up to you. I smoked for years, and praise God, I had to quit because I couldn't breathe no more, okay? But I went to a church. My wife wanted me to go. And after the service, everyone got their coffee. I stepped out on the stoop and had a cigarette. You know, that's just what I did. And went back next Sunday, and they had a great big sign stuck up on the stoop, no smoking. You know how it made me feel? Oh, sir, you have to go out over there if you want to smoke. No, I didn't mind doing that, okay? And I wasn't being disrespectful. But they come, hey, Starkey, a lot of ladies around here, older folks we have, they can't breathe the smoke coming in the door. Would you mind going over there and smoke? Oh yeah, no problem. But boy, you know how it made me feel, though? It's like slapped me in the face, like, ah! And I don't know if they did that on purpose or what, but I don't know. You gotta realize I was a cop too, so I wasn't really walking a whole lot of places anyway, you know. But again, let that light shine no matter what. The light will bring people to us. You ever turn a light on outside at night? Look at all the bugs you get and stuff. But if you got kids in school, you gotta collect those moths, what do you call them, flying things, you know? You walk on the light, you walk on the little bugs, because sometimes you're gonna get the big bug, one you're looking for. And when we let the light of Christ shine through us, we're going to draw a lot of different people to us. Okay? Some of you might think we're bugs, but there'll be one there, somewhere out there, somewhere, one's coming that Christ has already prepared their heart for us to witness to. But again, the world needs us today to be solid, to stand up, not waver. They're looking for somebody, they're looking for something that's true. All this stuff they thought were true for the last 2 or 3 years, but some have been misled. They're realizing it's not. It's all fake. It's all lies. So they get into the spirit that everything's a lie. No one tells the truth anymore. And they look at us and think the same thing. It's not those who are going past right now seeing us sitting here. It's those who are going to see us Wednesday or Thursday. Look at us and see, do we really believe in what we say we do? Do we really love the Lord? Is He really part of our life? That's an awesome, awesome responsibility God has given each one of us. But it all starts off with a relationship with Him, being sold out with Him. Psalms 119, 105 says, the Lord is a light upon my path. Amen? The Lord is a light upon my path. A path you walk down. And for us, it needs to be more than ever before. Where are you going to go this afternoon? What do you have planned for tomorrow night? It's not that you have to do it this way. You have a desire to do it this way. Because we want to be like Jesus. We want to follow Him. And be strengthened. And as you do that, and as you allow your light to shine, You'll be drawing people to the Lord. They'll be coming to you looking for answers. You might not have all the answers, but you know someone who does. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. More and more things are coming to head in these days. They're coming after, again, your children. They're trying to shove so much stuff down your throat anymore. We'll say enough is enough. Scripture tells us in these days to be a lot of false prophets, false teachings. Many will fall away from the truth. And it's ugly out there. And I'm just going to tell you up front, the Word of God is the Word of God. And if you truly love me, you'll tell me the truth. Amen? If I truly love you, I'll tell you the truth. But no sense lying. And folks, in today's culture, in today's pulpits, there are many of them that have compromised the Word of God. They're bending down to this wokeness. They're bending down to political correctness. They're bending down to, is it pronouns they call it now? I think that's what it's pronouns. And folks, am I using the right one? The devil wants to take control of your children, your grandchildren in school. At 5 and 6 years old, that they have the right to decide what type of sex they want to be, boy or girl. That's evil. That's not a choice. That's evil. I was listening to one guy on TV the other day. When he was 6 years old, he wanted to be a dinosaur. He said, thank God my parents didn't take me and get me changed. It's ugly. Male, female, boy and girl. That's how God created us. Now we can alter things. I put a wig on and a dress today. But I'm going to be a man in a dress and a wig. I'm not going to be a woman. Amen? And folks, people are trying to get you to bend to that. Say, use these proper pronouns and stuff. Nah. No. That's going to affirm what the devil is trying to do. Our kids, grandkids are under attack. They got so much wokeness out there that it's come through all their ears and stuff. Thank God that they have born-again folks in their lives that are sharing the truth. And when they come home and they're 15 years old and they want to dress like a cat tomorrow and go to school like in a cat outfit, no. Come on. That's the spirit also. Some places got cat boxes for students go to because they identify as a cat. That's the attack of the devil upon our children. I understand that. I know when I was 5 or 6 years old, we acted like we was dogs running around the yard on a hand. But, dad didn't put a leash on me. You know what I'm saying? No. Kids have imagination. What's that? Should have? Kids have imaginations, right, guys? Okay, but that spirit within you will let you know, well, that's gone too far. And folks, someone has to stand up for the Lord, and you, that's you, God's voice. What's a favor saying, but everybody else is doing it. Okay, but you're not everybody else, you know. I wish I lived over there. Sometimes I wish you did too. But no, you're here. Listen. You might hate me, but God blessed me with you, my life. And he gave me the awesomeness to raise you as a child. And I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to teach you the ways of the Lord. Now, when you get 18 years old, you can choose for yourself. I'm not condemning that on you. But until you're 18, I have that responsibility to share this with you. In law enforcement, I encounter a lot of disputes between maybe 16-year-olds and mamas. It seemed like the mamas always knowing that daddy wasn't around. And what I would tell the kids when they rebel, I said, listen, you get 2 years and you're going to be 18 years old. Shut your mouth. Listen to them. And 2 years, you do what you want to do. And most of them did that. Yeah, they did. And some of them turned out to be managers of big facilities and stuff like that. And a couple went to jail. But I'm saying, guys, they're doing what best they can. Some of us look at our upbringing and say, yeah, but they weren't perfect. I know. I wasn't perfect, but don't we always want something better for our children? Don't be afraid to say, listen, I went through the same thing. I know you want to do the same thing I want to do. I'm going to let you do that because I love you and I care for you very much. That's what we do on that. But not to get weary down there. Stand up for what is right. And folks, to be politically involved. I know, I talked to a fellow a while back, so I might come to your church one of these days. Oh, okay, we're open. I told him when. He said, you don't talk politics, do you? I said, well, I talk about Jesus. I talk about His Word. And I will tell you who represents standing up for His Word and who isn't. If you call out politics, then it's going to be politics. If we don't have rallies here and stuff, but I'm telling you what, if you're a man of God and you're standing up for God's Word and you're running for office, and you're running for office and you're tearing down this nation and you're all the perverted stuff, I have no problem saying, man, he's standing for God. And this guy isn't. Now, what way God wants you to vote? Amen? And we have to be involved with that, folks. Well, see, you should have been quiet because everybody thought I was pointing to Mary. Amen. But again, His Word is always here to encourage us. You know, sometimes it comes out at me, I get so strong in it, like, oh, I get sick and tired of what the devil's doing. Okay, but God is a God of love, a God of forgiveness, and we surrender to Him. Maybe you haven't walked the way you should. Maybe you slid backwards. Maybe you've been in a rebellious state. Hey, listen, this is a brand new day, right? If you recognize that and you go to the Lord and repent from it, man, He's there for you. Say, come on, let's keep on going. Because none of us here was born perfect, and none of us got born again became perfect. We have a perfect Savior. We have a perfect Spirit within us, but He's still trying to tame this old man. But we have to want that to take place to be His witness. Amen? Will you pray with me today? And what I want to do also is pray for our nation. Because it's very important to pray for those in authority. And as I pray, if you're in agreement, say amen. Once in a while, this must be our corporate prayer. Otherwise, I just pray one part, you pray it back and forth. But as I pray, and you say, amen, amen. That's agreement. That's coming together corporately, okay? Well, Father in heaven, we do come before you today, and we thank you so much, God, for your word. We thank you for those, God, who came before us, who led that path, that light. We thank you for Jesus and all the original apostles, and for every man and woman who's carried the cross of Christ and brought forth the good news. And those who stood in the gap, and God, for those who stood in the gap for us, for those who took on possibly being ridiculed from us, being made fun of by us, Father, even for our own parents who tried to raise us the best they could, and we rebelled against them, Father, we just seek that forgiveness today, Lord. And we truly want to be your light shining through us into this world today, that we can make a difference, God. One person at a time, we can make a difference, Father. So God, we thank you. We thank you for all the love you share with us. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for those who are here and those around the world who are taking this opportunity to shine the light, share the gospel, and rescue more and more people out of darkness and bring them into the light, Father. Yeah, we pray for those in leadership today, Father. We pray for those who are in authority over us today, God, that they be God-fearing. And they would recognize also, God, that they're accountable to you, Father. And God, that they would make decisions and act in such a way that bring you glory. And Father, we seek wisdom for them, Father, and knowledge and understanding, God, of your ways to be applied to our country again. And God, we just pray that also they'd be presented with the gospel in a loving way from the Christian, Father, to share it with them, God. That they're making decision for us, that we would share the gospel in a way, God, that they could understand it. And Father, if the ones who are in power today and those who are coming up, God, if they're unsaved, if they're not born again, Father, we just pray, Father God, we just bind that spirit that's keeping them from you, Lord, that you would send us, send born-again Christians across their path to speak to them in such a way that they come out of darkness into the light, Father God. And God, we recognize, Father, their need that they have for you. And they would pray, Father, and seek your will. And we intercede right now for them, God. We just pray for your godly wisdom to be given to them. And Lord, that you would speak to them. Father, whether it be an invasion, whether it be in a dream, Father, God, that they'll see exactly what you want them to do, and our country be guided, God, according to that. And Father, for those who are in the wayward ways today, God, that they may be convicted of their sins, Father, and the transgressions and the iniquities and the things they've been improving, Father, and repent from it. And God, that it would come up and repent nationally, Lord, to recognize Yahweh, the all-powerful one, the one that created the heavens and the earth, Father. And Father, we just pray, God, that it comes to the point they would buy you the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. They recognize the authority you've given them, Lord. That they will stand in the gap and create laws, Father, that will protect our children, our children's children, Lord. That the corrupt laws that have been drafted over the years, God, to be turned away. The new laws be drafted, Father, upholding you. We pray for our Supreme Court justices today, Father, which is the supreme power other than you in this land, God. We pray for their eyes and ears be open to the gospel, Lord, that they would take their job of protecting our laws seriously, Lord. We ask you to put your angel around them, Father God, to defend them, Father. Any blackmail has taken place, Father, the threats of death upon their children or their parents or whatever the case might be, God, we just pray they just have a divine intervention and recognize the authority you've given them, Father, that your angels have been dispatched around them to protect them, Father, and what the devil has meant for evil, God, you turn around for good, and these lies of those who are threatening this nation, God, to be exposed, and men and women to stand up, Father God, and put them down, Father. That the justice be served, they be removed from power, Father God. And during their imprisonment, Lord, they have a revelation, and God, they would come out of darkness into the light and declare Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And Father, we pray for Israel today, Lord. We pray for their peace. We pray for their strength, Lord. We pray that America could continue to be the ally, Father. We ask forgiveness for their leaders today. They're turning their backs on them, Lord. And we pray for men and women, leaders of this nation, not just to protect our own ways, but God, to stand in the gap for Israel, Lord, that they be strengthened to have an ally, Father. God, may your hand be upon them today. May people eyes open more and more. They look at Israel. Look how they've existed all these centuries, Lord. The size of New Jersey. And God, may eyes be open and say, man, we don't mess with their God. They're the true God. And may I draw people from their false gods into the realm of the real God. And that Jesus Christ would become their Savior and Lord, Father. But thank you, Lord. We put your hand of protection around our children. We place the blood of Christ over them. We declare that our children, our grandchildren, the generations coming behind us is our inheritance. We have a good inheritance. No matter what the devil is trying to do, no matter how warped they might be right now, they're going down the wrong path. We declare they are our inheritance. We have a good one. They shall come out of darkness into the light, Father God. Your word says that the dry creek beds will run full of water again, God. That's our children there. That they'll be raised up, Father God, strengthened. And there shall be a voice for this generation, Lord. A voice for this generation. And Lord, may your peace rest upon the households of mommies and daddies and grandparents and aunts and uncles, Father. May your peace come, Father, upon them today, Lord. Reconciliation. May your love be kindled, Father. May they recognize you in the center of their homes. May Bibles be open in the evening, Father, around the supper table again, around the couch. And that your word is shared. Father, it would be a minute, or it would be 5 minutes, or an hour. I know where your spoken word is, Father God. Authority goes out. And the devil is defeated, Lord. And we thank you. We thank you, God, truly. Greater he is in us. And he is in the world. And we go forth this week and remember whatever we encounter, no matter what the attack might be, that Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the Son of God, already defeated it and will stand in victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good.